It was cold. The wind was blowing increasingly strong. Snow was falling so much that you could barely see out of the window. My mom and I were at home, probably baking bread or folding laundry or something along those lines. My dad had just come home from bringing all the horses inside their stables before the snowstorm would get out of hand. And a few minutes after he got home, the storm took the power out. No more electricity. Now, I was little when this happened. Smartphones didn't have flashlights, so my dad went looking for his torch, but it was out of battery. So then he went to look for batteries. We were out of batteries. So my mom went in the dark and found some candles to light up. It was now about dinner time, and we set the table at candlelight. We had dinner at candlelight, and that night we spent meaningful time together, sharing a meal, sharing around the table, breaking bread and simplicity. And so this morning, to start our Living Our Mission series, I want to talk about caring for people, ways that we can bring light, that we can set the table for others and humble ourselves to make room for all to join. If you're looking for a title, this is it. Caring for people, light bringers, table setters, and humble friends. Sarah told us the story in which Jesus is invited over to a prominent Pharisee's home, and he observed the guest's attitude and noticed how they picked places of honor for themselves. They elbowed their way into importance and significance at the table of a highly respected man. And so to respond to the guest's behavior, he told them a parable. When one is invited to a wedding feast, Jesus indicates that he should take the lowest place or the last place, in the words of the Message paraphrase. So what are some of the lessons we can draw from the words of Jesus? How do we set up the table well? How do we invite, welcome, and care for people? How can we do this in a way that does not honor ourselves, but God and his people? First of all, we are light bringers. We shine who he is, the King of Kings, living within us. Just like the candles and the story that I just shared, we come and we bring light in the darkness. We beam with God's majesty. We glow his grace, his joy, and we decide to shine and to meet the needs of those around us. Just like the candles, we are here to light up a situation. When the power shuts down, when hope doesn't seem to be an option, we shine the light of Jesus. In the words found in the Gospel of Matthew, here is another way to put it. You are here to bring light, to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. Shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So to live out our mission, to care for people, we need to shine, to keep open house, to be generous with our lives. We need to be light bringers. As a church, we bear God's light, and our role is to let it shine by meeting the needs of those around us. Just like those words we have been singing these last few weeks, lamp aflame, city bright. In our story, Jesus then goes on to address the host. He tells him that he should invite not only his friends and rich neighbors, but also the misfits, the crippled, the lame, the poor, the isolated, the looked down upon. In Genesis 1, verse 27, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them." This means that all are welcome. All can have a seat at the table in the kingdom of God. All are included. We are to be table setters. We seek to include all at the table in the kingdom of God. We look to be generous with our time, with our resources, and we look to practically care for all people as we recognize that they are made in the image of God. Jesus is telling the host, do not be exclusive. Do not just hang out with your comfort friends or those who have influence so you can climb a ladder, but spend time with the misfits. Open your home to them. Open your heart to them. Listen and hear what they have to say and to share. The text tells us that there's a blessing on the other side of helping, of serving. We need to keep open house and to set a table at which we can all meet equally and share our experiences and our love for God. Finally, in order to care for people well, we need to be humble friends. C.S. Lewis says, "If anyone would like to acquire humility, I think, tell them the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud, and it is a biggish step too. Recognizing that we are proud. Not setting the table is not just about meeting a need, but it's also about being humble and available, a friend at all times. You see, before Jesus shared a table with the Pharisees, something happened. He was being watched by the Pharisees who were hoping for him to break the law. But there was a man in front of him with a need. He was suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And they remained silent. He then went on to ask the Pharisees another question after he healed the man. Is there anyone here who, if a child or animal fell down a well, wouldn't rush to pull him out immediately, not asking whether or not it was the Sabbath? The Pharisees were stumped. There was nothing they could say to that. Jesus called something in them that wasn't quite right, their pride. They thought they knew better because of their expertise of the law, their knowledge of the scriptures. They thought that Jesus was wrong and that they were right. You see, we are all prideful in some ways. Maybe we don't like to be interrupted. Maybe we aren't available because we're precious about our time and our Netflix shows. Maybe we reach for the places of honor first. Maybe we only hang out with our friends, with rich neighbors or people who can help us climb the ladder. Maybe we refuse to listen to other people's opinions and backgrounds and cultures and experiences. Maybe we are more concerned about our own agenda. Maybe we are too busy to care for others. Or maybe our priorities are a bit out of place. All of these things can contribute to pridefulness. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be proud. I want to be humble, a humble friend to those who surround me. Now, I'm not saying that humility means not caring for yourself at all and giving up all your time for others. No, but in recognizing that you are prideful, that I am prideful, and that we often choose ourselves first, we choose humility. Imagine this. Imagine if we sought to understand. Imagine if we listened a bit more. Imagine if we were a bit more present. Imagine if we were light bringers. Imagine if we set tables with a variety of people, close friends, acquaintances, maybe even strangers. I wonder the difference we would make if we chose to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. What if I started to value my friends' time as much as I valued my own? What if I valued their needs as much as my own? What if I valued their opinions as much as my own? I believe we think we can find the fundamentals of caring for people in 1 Corinthians 13, a well-known passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And in verse 13, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. What if every table we sat at, we had that attitude? What if every conversation we went into, we went in with that attitude? So I want to be a bit practical with you and share some ways that I've been cared for and that you can care for other people as well. First one, be like Dot. Check in on people, call them, text them, make sure they're going okay. Second point, be like Leanne. Pay visits to people who are lonely and to people who just want a friend to be around them. Be like my friend Margaret. Initiate a catch-up. Be like all the Margs. Pray for someone. But don't just say that you will pray, but actually do it. Be like Emma and give a meaningful gift. Listen and pay attention to what people want and like. Be like Anthony, Kofi, or Ryan, or Adam, who are always offering to help. Be like Leanne, who will make cookies for every occasion. Be like Vince, who is always here, ready to give an encouragement on the Sunday. Be like Kylie and let your agenda behind to spend time with someone in need. Be interruptible, just like Jesus was interrupted. And finally, be like Sarah and say thank you. Appreciate what people have done and thank them for what they do. So like Anne shared last week, as ordinary people, as light bringers, at table setters, we have an opportunity to do good, and God prompts us. But when he does, will we obey or will we stand in his way? My prayer and hope is that we would obey. We're going to sing this song called For the One. It says this: help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. So as we listen to these words, I want you to reflect on how we can be light bringers, table setters, and humble friends to those around us.